1 Thessalonians.
We are finishing our study in 1 Thessalonians this morning. We look forward to what God will do in our lives as a result of what we have learned here. It's taken us a little while to get through these five chapters, but Lord willing, God will use it in your life to grow you and help you and I better understand why we are here and what lies ahead for us as a result of the questions that the Thessalonians had. They have more questions. We'll pick that up in the fall as we begin with 2 Thessalonians in the fall and look at other passages of Scripture here this summer. But today we finish 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with verses 23 through 28. And if you would follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read here this morning. Paul concludes by saying, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is certainly faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." We have something in our family called Minnesota goodbyes. When we visit family in the state to our west, I know, through 30 years of experience, I know this, that if I want to leave at 4, I better start the process at 3. Because when we get to the door, we could have coffee and donuts as we say goodbye. We could sit on the floor and sing a hymn. The goodbyes go on and on and on. I think we pray 2 or 3 times. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but it seems like those Minnesota goodbyes last a really long time. And I am not exaggerating when I say sometimes an hour. Paul doesn't do that. I don't think Paul ever visited Minnesota. He doesn't know what a Minnesota goodbye is, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't have a Thessalonian goodbye. His farewell is brief, in part because he's already expressed his love to these dear friends. He doesn't have the need to go on and on about his commitment to their well-being. He's already told them he loves them, he misses them, he's poured himself into them, and he says goodbye. But whatever final words he uses, we all know this, that final words are important, aren't they? When you are leaving, final words are important. And we'll notice that today. We'll notice that there is a familiar ring to Paul's goodbye. There is a call to remember in these final words, a call to remember which will enable the Thessalonians to find rest in the midst of the turmoil of life. So let's go ahead and pray, commit our time to the Lord, and learn some things this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have preserved this letter from Paul to the Thessalonians. You have taught us much. We are thankful as well that the Holy Spirit is here. Spirit, that you indwell us and that you long to see our eyes opened. That you are doing a work. And today we would ask that in these last words of the Apostle Paul to his friends in Thessalonica, God, that you would use these words to challenge and change us. Grow us, we pray. I pray that we would be ready to hear, ready to receive, and ready to yield to the application that you desire to work in our lives. And so we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read through these last few verses, there are some rather big words. There are some big themes in this final farewell. Sanctify completely, kept blameless, he who calls. Those are big themes, large themes. And Paul has already spent time teaching on these themes. And so he is calling his friends to remember what has been taught. We'll touch on these things as we learn from Paul's final words here, his reminder to his friends. It is no secret, in fact, we've said it on numerous occasions, that remembering is helpful, and we do a lot of things to remember. I've made mention of those things in the past. We tie strings around finger, we set alarms on our phones, we use post-it notes. I still remember on 50. Thank you very much, Carol. That's an ongoing thing that she, I think, has taken upon herself this year to remind me that I'm 50 over and over and over again, and I'm still finding new post-it notes all around my house and in my car. So no, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I am. Thank you. Remembering is helpful, though. And today we'll learn about some things that Paul wants his friends to remember, and he is praying that they would remember, and he's writing it on paper, and they'll have a copy of it, and there will be an opportunity to see this is what Paul wants us to recall, to bring to mind on a regular basis. The first thing that we learn is this, is that remembering convicts. Remembering convicts. And what I mean by that is that remembering convinces us of truth. Notice verse 23, A, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. The God who sanctifies will do so completely. That is a massive truth that Paul wants his friends to remember. Sanctification, you say, what is sanctification? What are we talking about here when he says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely? The God who sanctifies, do it completely. What do we mean by sanctifies? Sanctification is the setting apart for a growth that God accomplishes in the surrendered servant. A setting apart for the work of growth. So there's purpose in sanctification. So, well, no kidding. Anything that God does, there would be purpose to. Right. So let's understand a little bit better what this setting apart is for and what it does. Notice in that definition the two words surrendered servant. That's going to help us understand sanctification. Because the word surrendered implies that the Christ follower is yielded to Christ so that Christ can accomplish his work. We understand this, that those who are born afresh, born anew, born again, saved from their sins, they are made a new creation with new purposes, new goals, a new life calling. And so that is going to require a yieldedness to the one who is now control. Where self used to sit on the throne and call the shots, this new life says God does that now. So the surrendered servant implies that the Christ follower is yielded, comes underneath Christ, so that Christ can accomplish the work that he wants to. Side note, I'm so thankful that what he wants to do is communicated to us in his word. So we don't have to sit around, well, I just wonder what God wants me to do. He has revealed that. If you're wondering about that, go back, go online and go back to some of the messages about what it means to live in the revealed will of God. Right here out of Thessalonians. So sanctification is the setting apart for the work of growth that God accomplishes in the surrendered servant. Surrendered, I come under His authority. Servant means that there is an active effort on my part now. I am a servant. What do? I serve. I act. I press toward the mark. The mark of what? Completing the service that God has for me while still here on earth. So, with justification, the saving of the soul, we understand that it's God who saves us. We have no effort in that work. We do not contribute to our salvation through works or creeds. It is a gift of God. But certain aspects of sanctification imply some effort on our part. Namely, the yielding of ourselves to God's will so that He may do the work of changing and growing us. This is why we read in the Scriptures of putting off and putting on. It is our responsibility, oh, by the way, through God renewing our mind through the Word, of what we are to put off actively and put on actively by yielding to Him so He can do the work. Yet even though we are involved in the growth process, Paul says here, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Paul acknowledges here that complete sanctification is the work of God. Completely implies this idea of through and through, from beginning to end, thoroughly. So from positional sanctification, that moment that we're saved and become a child of God, to progressive sanctification, which we're very familiar with, that ongoing growth through this earthly life, to prospective sanctification, where we are perfected in glory for all of eternity, set apart completely as God's eternal people, holy, righteous, without sin, without tear, from positional, progressive to prospective, God's got this. God's got this. You say, well, that's kind of a simple way of saying it. Well, not when you're struggling like the Thessalonians were. And they were wondering what was going to happen to them or what was going to happen to their relatives. Or I don't even understand, because they didn't have the completed revelation of God's Word. They needed others to come along and teach them. And Paul reminds them, complete sanctification is found in Christ. The Thessalonians were to be settled in the conviction that God would completely sanctify them. They would be matured, and that would be helpful. You remember what He has already written to them. He wrote to them about personal purity, about brotherly love, about walking in holiness, about confidence in the end times, respect for church leaders, love for others, inner joy, prayer, thankfulness, studying God's Word. That's a boatload of information. Paul doesn't just say to them, okay, now that I taught you this, just go do these things and all will be well. Go with your little checklist and start checking off. Yep, done that, done that, done that. And everything will be okay. He says, learn these actions, learn these attitudes in the power of the Spirit. Remember, I've taught you about this, and your success in them will flow out of Him. The promise of complete sanctification says God's got this. And we are to adopt this truth as well. And we're to live like this and to grow in this way. You see, when these things that we have learned, that they have learned, are applied, when they are matured by the Spirit through conviction, the learning and the applying of truth, you will then be set apart, sanctified as a leader, one who teaches others also. It is the work of God that accomplishes through the life of the surrendered servant these things. So what are Paul's final words? Besides what we read here, what is he communicating as he looks back on what he has taught them? As he looks back on that? What are his final words? This God of peace is at work, and so he is communicating to them, let this be a final lesson to you, that peace, through the God of peace, peace is known when you are convinced, when you live with this conviction, God sanctifying you, not to earn a call, but because you have been called. Did you notice verse 24? He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it. See, when these things are learned and matured by the Holy Spirit through conviction, this is what God does. He brings us to maturity. So be convinced in your mind, Thessalonians. Be convinced, students of the Word, that God is sanctifying you, not to earn a call, but because you have already been called. He will complete the work. More on that in a minute. Number two, remembering not only convicts, remembering confirms. 23b, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering confirms, or it builds your complete confidence in him. We notice here that Paul references spirit, soul, and body. What is he doing? What's he talking about? Well, first of all, let me help you with the terms a little bit. First of all, we understand this through the Word of God that human beings created in the image of God are soul. What does that mean? It means that we have emotion and will, and we can express ourselves to one another and to God and interrelate on an intimate level. We would say we can have deep relationship because we are soul. Because we are soul, we understand that we are also spirit. What does that mean? It means that we can be spiritual. We are spiritual at the core. We can perceive and know and communicate and interact with God. We read in Scripture that certain things are spiritually discerned, understood, applied to life. It's the work of the Spirit in us interacting with our spirit. Humans are soul. Humans are spirit. We can interact with God, and this is obvious, we are body. We can interact with the physical world around us. You say, what's the main idea? Well, Paul is not trying to be tricky here. He's not trying to teach some kind of dissected theology of man. He is simply and yet profoundly reminding the church that it is God who keeps them in their entirety. Body, soul, and spirit, inner man, outer man, material and immaterial. God is the one who keeps them because of the forgiveness, because of the cleansing of Jesus, and by the Spirit's work of sanctification, believers can be holy and blameless all the way through this physical life until they are welcomed by Christ at His coming. You can be right with God. And Paul is saying to his friends here that this God of peace actually wants you to be at peace with Him. And He will provide the way, has provided the way in Christ for you to be that, do that. Take confidence in the teaching of Scripture. Your salvation is not preserved by your efforts. God holds all that are His and will not lose one. By His grace, God calls His people, verse 24. God sanctifies His people, 23a. He holds on tightly to His people, 23b. This is the God of peace, the one who wants to have peace with us and has provided the way. Many of you, what is probably coming to your mind, this is a quote-unquote life verse of many, but I want you to see it with your own eyes, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We are talking about confirming how remembering confirms or builds complete confidence. Notice Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Here's Paul's words to his friends in Philippi. He says, being confident, having this confirmed in me, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the same message that he has delivered to his friends in Philippi is going to his friends in Thessalonica. This is the same God. This is the work that He works in you, Philippians 1:6, paralleling very well with 1 Thessalonians 1:23b. You say, what is the lesson? What are his final words? Let this be a final lesson to you. One, remembering convicts. Two, remembering confirms. Peace is known when you are confident that your salvation is held, that your new life in Christ is protected by God's preserving power and not your own abilities. You can't sin your way out of salvation, for by grace you've been saved. Faithful is He. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. His desire is to preserve the unity that the blood of Christ bought. God's given Himself fully to this. And Paul is saying to his friends in Thessalonica, one, live in the conviction that God is sanctifying you. Number two, live in the confirmation, the confidence that you are held, you are kept by this God. And they would find great comfort in remembering that it is God who holds them and makes them holy vessels fit for use. This is the work that He has given Himself to. And then, number three, remembering these truths that He has taught, remembering conforms. Now we say, wait a minute, I thought we weren't supposed to be conformed. No, in context, remember, it's not do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed or conformed to Christ. Change the conformity. Let God do this work in you. Remembering what has been taught, remembering what they had learned, would bring about a steady resolve, a strong faith, a conformity to the will of God. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful. He is the God of faithfulness. He will do it. He will make it so. So the Thessalonians serve a God who is faithful to the end. You and I, believer, friend, we serve a God who is faithful to the end. He has thought of everything. The questions that are plaguing the Thessalonians' minds, God's got it. God knows. He's confirmed this. Over and again, we learn that when God says He will do something, He does it, even when it seems impossible. When He says something will happen, it happens. This is true for the past, the present, the future. In fact, if it were not the case, if God were unfaithful even once, He would cease to be the God revealed in the Bible. We could not rely on any of His promises. But the Scriptures teach us, don't they? 1 Kings 8, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise. Not one word. Not in one little point. Well, that wasn't exactly. No, that is exactly what God promised and what was delivered. God is eternally reliable, eternally steadfast, eternally unwavering, because faithfulness is one of His inherent attributes. It is who He is. He is faithful. You remember in the book of Revelation what is written on the thigh of our King. Faithful and true. That is His name. God does not have to work at being faithful. God does not have to work at being faithful. This is who He is. Faithfulness is an essential part of Him. You can write those passages down, look at them later. In His faithfulness, what does God do? The Bible says He is faithful. He protects us from evil. He is faithful. He sets limits on our temptations. He is faithful. He forgives of sin. He is faithful. He sanctifies us completely. His faithfulness in both sanctification and preservation should bolster our faith and conform us to Himself. Conform, square our beliefs, our behavior, our character to who He is and who He has saved us, called us to be. Your God's got this. Your God's in it. Your God has not forgotten you. Your God is with you. Your God is committed to you. Your God is faithful. So what are Paul's final words to his friends? Remember, and remembering convicts. Remember, and remembering confirms. And remember, remembering conforms. Peace. Peace is known when you are upheld by active, unwavering, faithful love. Friends, on your best days, friends, on your worst days, God's work of sanctification, your position as a child of God, is secure because He is the God of peace. He is a God of love, and He is always faithful. This is your God. Again, He's a God of peace. You will face trials and temptations in a sin-laden world, as did they. You will know both extreme highs and devastating lows, as did they. You will be pulled farther than you think you can stretch, as were they. But this God of ours sanctifies fully, completely, through and through. Remember him, learn him, know him, emulate him. You remember what Paul said? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow one another as we follow Christ. For as you learn, you will only then truly, wisely, and effectively lead. As you remember what you have learned, God will give you opportunity to shepherd those along to the one who keeps his people secure for all of eternity. Ever learning, ever leading. And Paul then concludes with these words, brethren, pray for us. Pray what? He's being consistent with what he's done all along. He includes himself in the us. I need to remember these things too. Pray for us. Greet one another with a holy kiss. He gives a last instruction. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. In other words, it is everyone needs to hear this. Everyone needs the admonition and the encouragement that comes from this. And then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May the Lord encourage us with his word. As it is read, as it is believed, and as we come alongside one another, encouraging each other, helping each other to remember these words. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we remember what was taught to the Thessalonians, that the age of chaos is coming, the day of the Lord. We are experiencing even today the birth pangs of this, those telltale signs that life in this sinful world will be increasingly filled with trouble. Yet in the midst of the chaos, we can have peace. Because it is the God of peace who sanctifies. And not in part, but the whole. Our whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless. And we trust you, Father, for you are faithful. You will do it. It is written. I do pray that we would, after the model, the example of Paul, that we would pray for one another. That we would open our mouths and encourage one another. That we would come alongside and bear up one another. God, I pray that they did it back then, this greeting all brethren with a holy kiss, that togetherness. I pray that we would come alongside. We wouldn't see a place for God's people to be separate and apart from the body. There is a need to be together as the day of the Lord nears. And so we look with great expectation for that time when the church will be raptured from this earth. What an amazing day, a moment of promise. You are faithful. I pray that we would remember the theological truths that we have learned. And we would also remember that those theological truths should lead us to everyday faithful living. God, as you worked through the people in Thessalonica and others heard testimony of how you changed lives, may they do the same through us. I pray that our community would know Wausau Bible Church, not for a program, not for a building, but for our God. That the God of peace would so work in us that others outside would see us and know that you are faithful. We are sinners. Sinners in need of grace, but grace that has been poured out on us immeasurably. And so we praise you for the peace that we can have in turbulent times because of the truth that has been taught to us. We rest. We rest not in our circumstances, not in our own abilities, but in yours to sanctify, to keep, and to call. You are good. I pray that you would use us for your glory this week. As we take time to remember the men and women who gave their lives, I pray that would also spur us on to remember our God who gave his life. And he didn't die defending a piece of land. He died for a sin debt that we could never pay. You are a God of love, faithful, who will do it. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, we pray.